So some of you know, last week I was with my family. We were out west doing a little skiing. It was a great time. Always good to get away, right? To step out of our kind of regular rhythms and just maybe slow down a little bit, reflect. My idea of relaxing is to be really busy, so we were really busy, but it was a great time to be away. However, near the end of our vacation, it was kind of funny, my wife and I, we looked at each other and we said these words, "It will be good to be home." Isn't it interesting that whenever we get away from home or we're on vacation or we're out doing something else, it always feels really good to be home. There's this built-in kind of hardwiring for us to have this place of home where we can go, this place where we feel like we're settled, this place where we know that we're loved and where we belong. We can see it all throughout even our secular culture in movies, for example. The timeless Wizard of Oz, Dorothy is trying to get where? Home. If I could only get back home. One of my favorite movies as a kid growing up, E.T., the extraterrestrial. He takes all the high-tech stuff of the day and he builds a phone so that E.T. can phone home. Hey, say that with a little more energy, folks. All right, no time change. You had coffee today. No excuses today. I think about John Denver. Any John Denver fans out there? His song Country Roads, right? He's searching for a place to belong. We have this hardwired into us, this desire to have a place where we belong. And yet, for so many of us, that place feels out of reach. And even as I'm talking about home today, some of you are having maybe memories from your childhood that aren't very good. About home. Some of you are thinking about your current state of home and like, I don't want to be there. In fact, I'll try to be anywhere else besides my home because my home is not a place of peace. It's not a place where I feel like I belong. It's not a place where I'm loved, but instead it's a place of chaos. It's a place of brokenness and maybe worst case scenario, it's even a place of abuse for some of you. And so this whole idea of what home is and where we belong, it can be hard to wrap our minds around. It can be hard to understand the truth that it's more than just a physical place with a nice white picket fence and a big backyard and a dog, but it's a place where we can actually feel settled and known and loved. We talked about it a few weeks ago. It's the Garden of Eden. That's where we were created to be. That's the place where we were created to belong. And yet we know that's not where we're at anymore. That's not where we're at. We've been sent away from that place. And at times it feels like, do I even want to make the effort to try to get back home? Because that opens me up to questions. It opens me up to fears. Maybe I'll be disappointed. Maybe I'm too far away from home to ever get back to that place. Maybe it doesn't really exist. And we feel this tension where maybe it's easier just to stay unsettled and unknown and unloved because there's very little risk in that. Reminds me of 2 weeks after I got my driver's license, I got a speeding ticket. Hey, I've only gotten two in my entire life. That's not bad, okay? But 2 weeks into it, it looked like I was going to have a lot of speeding tickets in my life. And I got that speeding ticket. I know none of you are surprised. And I had this tension in my stomach. I wanted to go home and tell my parents what had happened. And I absolutely did not want to go home and tell my parents what happened. Because what if they disown me? What if they no longer want me as their son, their child? What if they're mad at me? What if they're angry? So I was thinking that, but then there was this other tension of, but that's where I belong. That's where I can find forgiveness. That's where I can find a new way. And I think sometimes we feel this way with God, don't we? We fail, we sin, we're broken, we have questions, we have fears, and we know we're being called back home, but there's this tension. Do we really want to go there, or is it too hard to go back? And I think this is how the Israelites were feeling in our reading from 2 Chronicles. They've been sent into exile. They've been sent to Babylon. They've been sent far, far from home. We've been looking at this sort of process, this cycle that happens to the Israelites, and it still happens in our lives today in this series, the cycle of rebellion, discipline, and rescue. Last week, Pastor Daniel talked about it in the book of Judges, where you see the same thing happening again and again. It's the definition of insanity for Israel. The same thing happens over and over. They disobey God. A foreign nation comes in to rule them. God raises up a judge to rescue them. And then they do it again and again and again. And we see the same thing happening here with Israel further along the line past Judges. And it's with a king this time. And this whole idea of rebellion and discipline is coming to a climax as now God's people are taken from their home and they're brought into exile. It goes like this. Zedekiah was 21 years old and he became king of all of Israel. And he ruled for 11 years, but he was a hard and a stubborn man. And he refused to turn to the Lord, the God of Israel. He refused to go back home. He wanted to stay where he was. And the text tells us that Larry read that the prophets came and they told him, you got to turn back to God. There's a place for you back home. Repent of your sin and find life at home. But he didn't want to do that because he was hard and stubborn. Anybody out there stubborn? Let's go, raise him up there, right? We like to do things our own way. He was hard and stubborn. The prophets come and say, turn, and he doesn't. And then we read that even the priests and the leaders and all the people of God, they kept doing the things of the culture and the world around them. They thought that was where they could find home. And so in 586 BC, here comes King Nebuchadnezzar. We should have a spelling test on that on the way out. King Nebuchadnezzar comes in. He destroys Jerusalem. He raises the temple to the ground. The temple, the place of worship, is destroyed. And he takes those who are left, those who survived, which wasn't many. He takes those who survived with him to Babylon. And here's the thing. Babylon was far, far from home. It was far from home, literally. It was 900 miles away from Jerusalem. 4 months it took them to travel from Jerusalem to Babylon. So we're going to start today and we'll get there in July. That gives you an idea of how far away this place was physically. And so they had to wonder, will we ever get back home? Is it possible even for us to ever get back home? So literally, it's far from home. Culturally, it's far, far from home. So our friend Daniel, who ends up in the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who end up in the fiery furnace, each of them were given brand new names when they went to Babylon, and they were named after pagan gods to be assimilated into the culture. The food was different. The music was different. They had to wonder, will this culture swallow up our culture of home? And it was also far, far from home religiously. The people of Babylon practiced polytheism. That means they had all kinds of God. Israel, one God. The Babylonians, all kinds of God. Even their king was considered a god. And so they had to wonder, are these gods more powerful than Yahweh? Where are you at, Yahweh? Have you forgotten about us? Will we ever be able to get back to you, God? Where does this all leave us? Where are we? And yet in the midst of this exile, and you should be feeling some of this tension of exile as well in our culture. We're in modern day Babylon. And yet in the midst of that, God speaks a word of hope. We got a little taste of it in our reading from 2 Chronicles. It's also talked more about in the prophet Jeremiah. There's your assignment for the week. Read Jeremiah. But that after 70 years, they would be brought back home, that the Israelites would leave exile. And that's what we see happening near the end of our reading today with this king of Persia. named Cyrus, that Persia came along, the kingdom of Persia came along, they defeated the kingdom of Babylon, and then this very strange thing happens. This non-Jew, okay, this very secular king, this king Cyrus of Persia, he says that God, the God of heaven, has given all the kingdoms of the world to me. That's very odd, isn't it? That God would do this, that he would give this secular king all the kingdoms of the world, and he's going to work through this king to do an amazing thing. And so Cyrus puts out this decree over all of his lands, and he says, hey, I'm going back to Judah, and I've been deemed to build a temple there again. And if you're of that people, you can head on back. Like, amazing, right? You can go home if you want. And you've heard me talk about this before. It's the great dispersion, because not all of the Israelites actually went back home, but instead they dispersed around the world. And so on the day of Pentecost, the people of this remnant came back to Jerusalem where the church was born, and then they were sent back to where they had come from, to bring this message of home in Jesus along with them. And so there's this incredible way that God is at work to bring them back home, and yet it's all foreshadowing something so much better than just going back to Judah, than just going back to Jerusalem, but it is pointing us ahead to what Jesus is going to do when he comes. And the prophet Ezekiel talks about this in Ezekiel chapter 37. This is so good, okay? Just put Jesus in your mind here, because that's what the prophet is speaking about. I will make a covenant of peace with them, us, an everlasting covenant. I will give them their land and increase their numbers, and I will put my temple among them, not just for a small time, but forever. I will make my home among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. You're going, what do you mean, Jesus? This is like Old Testament, and what are you talking about, Pastor Tom? Well, next Thursday, we're all going to gather here. If you've never been to a Monday Thursday service, I'm encouraging you as your pastor to come on out and worship. Incredible time of connecting the dots of the Old Testament to Jesus as the Lamb of God. And as Jesus sits with his disciples for the Last Supper, he gives us Holy Communion, and he says these incredible words. He says, in this cup is the new covenant. The new covenant given and shed for you. It's a better covenant, because it's given to you through the sacrifice of my very body and blood. It is an everlasting covenant that will bring you home. And Ezekiel goes on to say, I will give them their land and increase their numbers. I will put my temple among them forever. This is talking about the second coming of Jesus when he brings the new heavens and the new earth. It's not just about the physical land of Israel for today. It's about an eternity in our home where we belong. The new earth where God has created everything new and revived it and made it just as it should be from the beginning. And Jesus is the temple. That's not just a physical building, y'all. It's Jesus. It's why he says, 3 days this temple will be destroyed and then it will be raised to life, because he is the fullness of God. The author of Hebrews says it this way, that Jesus is the exact representation of God, because that's who he is. Y'all, do you see how this is pointing us to something so much better? And it even, can you tell I'm excited? Are you awake? Like, oh my gosh, this is so good. We can't miss it. Look at these words of Revelation 21. This is talking about the second coming of Jesus. God's home is now where? Among his people. This is Ezekiel, friends. And it goes on, it gets better. He will be with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. And he's going to wipe every tear. No more death, sorrow, crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. A place where we're settled, place where we're known, a place where we're loved. You see, your God has come, and he's coming. It's what the prophet Isaiah says, your God is coming to bring home to you. And that's exactly what's going on in Mark chapter 1. It's this beautiful, beautiful picture about the good news. And we need good news in our lives. There's so much bad news. I don't know if you've seen Channel 11 anchor Randy Shaver. He's been around forever, hasn't he? And he finally said, I've got to retire because I can't do it anymore. I can't keep giving this news that I bring night after night after night after night because it's filled with no hope. Mark chapter 1 is all about good news that's filled with real hope because it's about God bringing his home to us. And so John the Baptist is preparing the way for God to show up, for Jesus to show up in the flesh. As John 1 says, for the word became flesh and made his home among us. He's preparing the way. And part of the way he prepares the way is this idea of repentance. This whole truth that our sin and our rebellion has put us in this cycle of brokenness that has removed us from our home in the garden, and it has landed us in Babylon. And it has left us wondering, will we ever get back there again? Is there a way for me? Has our God left us on our own? But the truth of repentance, repenting of our sin, our rebellion, and our brokenness, is the way to get home. It's the way to be settled and to be known and to be loved. Because like my parents didn't kick me out of the house when I got a speeding ticket, maybe they wanted to, but I think I remember my dad had gotten a speeding ticket like the week before. So there was little ground for him to stand on. All right, when we go back in repentance to our God, he doesn't shame us. He doesn't guilt us. What does he do? He forgives us. Isn't that beautiful? I know I need that over and over. And it's because of how great our God is. I love what John says. He says, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater than I am that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. Jesus would say about John the Baptist that there was no person who ever lived that was greater than John the Baptist. And yet John the Baptist says, I'm not even worthy to touch the feet of Jesus. That's how great he is. And so Jesus comes in his greatness to bring us back home. Jesus comes in his greatness to bring us forgiveness. Jesus comes in his greatness to show us how wonderful our God is. Yet here's the thing about our God. His greatness is always displayed in such an unexpected way. It's displayed in incredible humility. In humility. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist looks at Jesus and says, behold, or look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. How does our God make a way back home? By sacrificing his one and only son. This is what we're working toward in Holy Week and Good Friday and in Easter, that Jesus would humble himself to death, even to death on a cross, so that a way could be made back home, so that the bridge could be rebuilt, so that we don't have to be afraid to seek the place where we belong. And Jesus does that all for you and me. Just love these words that Daniel read for us. Jesus says, the time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Jesus is near, friends. Do not let the scales of Babylon cover your eyes to the truth that the kingdom of God is near and that Jesus is coming again very soon. Repent. Repent of your sins and find wholeness as you believe the good news. The good news that there's a place for you. The good news is that home is ready for you. The good news that you belong. The good news that you're loved, that you're known, and you're settled. So yes, it is good to be home. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for making a way home for us. Thank you that we can now live waiting for you, not without work to do. We get to make this place more like it will be when you come again, more like it was in the beginning, as we care for orphans and widows, as we live out our faith, as we become more like you, Jesus, as we help others to do the same. And so remove the scales of Babylon from our eyes today and help us to see that you are near, Jesus, that we would honor you by living like we are home, because we are, even as we wait for you to come again. In your name we pray. Amen.